Hello and welcome to Real Bible Stories. Join us as we deep dive into the historic, religious, cultural, political, and emotional context surrounding the real lives of real people in the Bible and the stories we've all grown to love. Hello and welcome to this episode of Real Bible Stories. I'm your host, Imran Ward, and we are joined by my wife, Selena.
Hey.
Pastor Nick.
What's up?
And his brother, Nathan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right. So this is Pastor Nick and Nathan are from Set Free Church. And if you listen to the last episode, we introduced them there. But I'm going to give it over to you all and give us a little like life update and like, who are you? So just like a little 30-second piece for those that didn't get to listen to last week's episode. We'll start with you, Pastor Nick.
Pastor Nick, my wife is Nikki Foley, and I have three boys.
Did she tell you that you didn't talk about her last week?
No.
Oh, okay. But
the spirit led me.
There you go.
You know, because when you say Pastor Nick and Nathan Foley, it just sounds weird. I'm like...
They're both happily married, man. Two women.
Yeah. But yeah, my wife, Nikki Foley, and my three boys, Thomas, Logan, and Caden, 10 years old, or 11 years old, 8 years old, and 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
So we got our hands full with our boys, but they're such a joy, and they're in baseball now, and it's just a beautiful thing to... I've been here for 2 years in 29 Palms and planted this church 2 years ago in Wonder Valley, and we recently opened a ranch ministry to bring people off the streets.
Yeah, that is the coolest thing. Literally bringing people off the streets, teaching them about the word and helping detox them and like help them reset their lives, right?
Yeah, like Jesus boot camp.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so they're at boot camp. And the funny part is we're only not even a mile. I did the mileage today. We're just like...
A mile off the base.
A mile off the base right
there. That's wild.
And so we're like doing Jesus boot camp while you guys are doing...
Like real boot camp.
Yeah, real good boot camp here. Mm-hmm. And so we open our ranch and, you know, it's so exciting and just rejuvenating to be in this community and to get to know all the people. And because I came from Needles, California, and it's a small town, you know. We had the river and that was the biggest excitement. But there's so many families and people that I've met.
Just Needles... Was
smaller than 29 Palms?
29 Palms is big compared to...
Oh, yeah. Significant.
What?
Wow.
Significantly bigger. The only, like, grand thing about Needles is the Colorado River. So it runs through, you know, Needles. But no stores. There's $1 General. And nice. Then...
They're everywhere.
There was a Rite Aid.
Never not
But they closed
General.
The Rite Aid. And so you literally have to go to all the way to Bullhead, Arizona for a Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of like going to Walmart in Yucca Valley, but there's a lot more here. There's a lot more here. And
that's
there's
absolutely
a lot more.
Wild.
Yeah.
Like we're from Miami. So like we're like, oh man, I didn't even know a town could be as small as 29 Palms.
You know? You should go to Needles.
Or be considered a city because it's a city of 29 Palms. Yeah. It's like, why is this not a township?
Yeah. You should.
Is it more like Wonder Valley? Like where things are so separated?
No, everything in Needles like is really close.
Okay.
But the overall area is small.
Yeah, the overall area and just it's tiny. It's a tiny city and it was big back in when the railroad first started. They have a huge, like their town jewel is the what's the name of it? It's a it's an old like the Harvey House or what's it called?
I'm not too sure.
Santa Fe Park and there's a Santa Fe Park and then there's a big like train depot.
Oh, really?
It's not
like a locomotive like history thing?
Yeah, there's history there and it was a hotel and it was popping back in the railroad days and when all that was happening and but that's like their crown jewel. They have it all remodeled now but you can't even really go in there to use it as a train station, so it's like all just empty. But they have and I think what it should be called now is maybe Weedles.
What?
Yeah,
Weedles. Is it full of weed?
It's just every corner.
The tumbleweed is just it's just living.
Well, marijuana.
Weedles.
Yeah, every corner is grow
like
a weed shop.
Wow, how
everywhere.
Far I've grown in the spirit that my first thought wasn't marijuana.
Tumbleweeds.
Tumbleweeds.
But yeah,
a lot of those too.
There is some tumbleweeds, but it's just overran by it's everywhere. The weed,
that's crazy.
The shops, the selling of it, and so when I got to 29, I was like, gosh, thank God, because literally when you're on the 40 freeway and you get into Needles, that's all you smell.
It's just the
marijuana.
It's
just because there's just storage facilities this full of growing marijuana
everywhere.
Crazy.
And they got little like ice cream shop marijuana,
Oh my gosh.
Dessert shops. And it's like everything's marijuana there. And it's like it's booming out there.
Well, I'm glad you're out here. And I'm glad that you've got the ranch built out here in this community.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
And I'm glad you brought your family out here too.
Yeah.
It's been so great. It's been a huge blessing having you all.
And Saturday, man, just was beautiful.
Yeah, if you're in the 29 Palms area, come on, come check out Set Free, come check out Palms Church, because we, and you, if you ride a motorcycle, like we do some motorcycle rides. The next one, we'll probably try and do something like late April timeframe. I haven't told Pastor Nick yet that, but that's the plan, to go out to the Salton Sea and do something out there.
Nice.
So we'll figure the date though, and you'll see that popping around on Set Free and Palms Church's stuff. And if you're in the global community, I hope, and if you're riding a motorcycle, I hope you're listening to Real Bible Stories while you're riding down the highway.
Yes, that'd be great.
Give you a chance to focus and actually be attentive as you ride, you know, and be in the spirit while you're riding. So I don't want you to take all the spotlight though. Like Nathan, tell us a little bit about your family life and your backstory a little bit.
Yeah, my name is Nathan Foley. I'm the middle brother. Nick Foley's my older brother and my pastor, and then I have my little brother Niall, but I'm happily married to a shout out to my wife Danielle, who's 6 months pregnant, and we have a boy Lincoln on his way.
Nice.
And a little 6-year old Braden. And my family is just really grown, you know, just grown in the Lord, and just seeing how far my wife's come, and just it's fantastic just being able to be out here and serve and just get a whole new outlook on what God wants to do, not just in my inner family, but then the family of God. Mm-hmm. It's really fantastic. So I'm thrilled about that.
I think that this is actually going to be such an awesome episode because the concept, because this week we're going to be talking about sanctification, and I didn't really introduce the full Bible stories in the beginning. So I'll say, you know, like we're going to do deep theological study into the Bible, much deeper than you normally get on like a Sunday sermon. So I'm sure you're noticing right now that the episode's like an hour or hour and a half or so, is because we're going to go deeper and more nuanced than we really do on like a normal Sunday morning. And that's kind of the joy of this study. But talking about sanctification this week, I think is going to be awesome, just because I think the juxtaposition of where we came from in our worldly life and where we are now in our spiritual life is what really shows like the power of the of God in our life, and really like carries our witness. And we're going to actually talk about what it means to be a witness in next week's episode with Pastor Ryan. So this is all going to tie together.
Cool.
But I think that juxtaposition is so huge. And the fact that like you all have come from like a backstory that is like absolutely wild and absolutely incredible. And to see that you've come to be the leaders of a church out here, and that you're now rescuing people out of the, about some of the craziest things that, that life can throw at us. Mm-hmm. Is just going to be incredible. So I'm totally ready and excited to jump into this,
me too.
Discussion here.
Yes.
Yeah. So how do you want to get it started?
Let's pray. Yeah. You guys want to pray?
Yeah, sure.
Good Lord, Father, we just, we thank you. We thank you for just giving us opportunity to dive into your word and to know more about you. Seek the scriptures and find you throughout the whole scripture, from the Old Testament, the foreshadowing of you. Your coming, and then also your second coming. We thank you. I thank you for my brother and sister right here who have invited us in our their home, Lord. I just thank you so much, Lord. We're just forever grateful for who you are in our lives, Lord. We just love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, Celine, I didn't ask. Do you want to give any updates before we jump into the episode?
No, I think I'm just ready.
All right. Yeah. Now let's get after it. All right.
Cool. Yeah. So John 17, we'll be in John 17. We'll read Jesus's prayer and we'll kind of see what Jesus, we're not going to stay too much in John 17 because we want to just see what Jesus was trying to say through John 17.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. There's a big, this is his time, you know, of getting ready to go to the cross. And I think that should be highlighted here too, you know, coming into to Easter and resurrection, and that's getting closer upon us. And this is one of the prayers he was praying before he knew that he was going, as he knew he was going to the cross before that time. These are his prayers for his people, for his believers, for the disciples, for the unbeliever, you know what I mean? And he's pouring his heart out in this prayer, but we're not going to spend too much time in the prayer. Like my brother said, it's mostly the ending scriptures of it. And, but I have a problem. I have a problem with, reading just a couple scriptures in a story. You know what I mean? We have to kind of
read a little bit more so you get the context.
Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah, absolutely. So what do you want to read?
Yeah. Okay. So we're reading from John 17, verses 1 through 19. All right. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in this world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world. So that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified.
Amen.
I love that.
Yes.
I actually have never read that prayer all the way through. I've heard that the phrase, like, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. Which we kind of talked last week of, like, we have these like token scriptures that we hang on to, but do we really understand the full context behind them? Yeah. So I think that's huge if we just read that.
And some of the things, you know, that to highlight here is,
thank you, Selena, by the way.
You know, Jesus, and a lot of times that he was going to pray, it would say Jesus withdrew to speak to the Father. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of those times we didn't know what his prayers were. Yeah. You know, but this one is big because it's one of Jesus's recorded prayers, and it was important enough for someone to be around him at this time to be able to pin it.
Yeah,
and there's so much that we could get stuck just in this prayer forever, but our topic is sanctification and.
Yeah, I want to point a few things out in this, though, that sanctification, as Jesus was talking about in this prayer, that it's not for the world. The sanctification process is not for the world. It wasn't meant for the world. It was meant for those who, like last week, we talked about being born again. Mm-hmm. So whoever is born again is now positionally sanctified, which we'll talk about, and in a process of being
sanctified.
Yeah. So this prayer is, as you read through it and you have those two topics on mind, my position in heaven and where I'm going down here, who I'm learning who I am down here in Christ.
Yeah.
You can read that's what Jesus was praying over them, is that they're not of the world. Keep them from the evil one. This prayer is not for the world.
Yeah.
You know, his speech is for them to be sanctified, you know, by the word, and the word is truth, and that's the whole word. You mean? So,
and I love too, what really caught my eye is because last week we kind of were going into John 3:16, mm-hmm. for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then you see Jesus right here explain what eternal life is.
Yeah.
What is eternal life? To know him.
Yeah.
and to be known by him and to be in fellowship and that constant walking with the son through the father through with the father.
Yeah, it's really the prayer is really an explanation of what it means to be saved. Yeah. Like, 'cause last week you talked about, well, this is what it means to be born again. Yes. And it's like, okay, then what does it look like to be in a born again state? It's like, now you've been, you know, physically and metaphysically born again.
Now it's time.
So now what does that look like?
Yeah. Now it's time to crawl and start walking and get sanctified.
It's like, now you're going to know God and be known by God, you know, you're going to have his spirit in you. Like we talked about last week. And it's like, man, there's so much there.
Yeah. Cause we talked about born again, Nicodemus came, you know, and we talked about the born again, but what happens during that?
Yeah.
What happens? You know, there's like an instant thing that happens as we wholeheartedly confess Christ, you know, as the true God, the one only true God. There's something that happens supernatural immediately, and our position is secure, you know, and that's the word that is referred to as consecrate too, as the priests would consecrate themselves. So we'll go to Exodus and we'll learn about the process there and dig into it, because as we read in, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10, it says, all the scripture was to foretell of Jesus, all of it. Yeah. None of it was, it was a point behind all of it. So even the priest, Aaron and his sons, when they were being consecrated, it was to foreshadow the events to come, you know?
Yeah, and so some versions we were studying and looking at, this is an NIV. I have an ESV, and I'm pretty sure my English Standard Version. Jesus says in verse 19, for them I consecrate myself. So we know there that obviously the word consecrate can translate to sanctify.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and the consecration, the word consecration means to fill up or to fill the hand. The word sanctification means to set apart or make holy. But it's the same. It's the same word, the same meaning, in depth when you go further along in it. And when he's saying, "I'm going to consecrate myself," you know, "I'm going to sanctify myself," you know, as that offering, you know. So we'll get into the first. We'll get into the position, our position, and what that looks like. We'll read out of Exodus, Exodus 28. First, we'll go to Exodus 28, 40 through 43.
28, 40 through 43?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay. Are you sure? Just three?
Well, we can read the, let me see.
Well, actually, I guess explain what's going on. Explain what's going on in this chapter. What are we walking into? Give me some of the context.
So right here, there, Abraham's making clothes. He's making all. He's getting the priests, Aaron and his sons.
Moses or Abraham?
Abraham. Moses. Sorry, my bad. Moses.
Thanks, Pastor.
Yeah, and I also want to point something out real quick too. Last week on the podcast, I said Simon Peter, but it was Simon and Andrew. So I want to make that clear for anybody who's listening. It was Simon and Andrew, the brothers, the fishermen. I said Simon and Peter, but I want to make that clear.
Gotcha. Yeah, Simon and Peter are the same guy. Just
yeah, Simon Peter's
Simon
the same
Peter's
guy.
Same. Yeah. First name's Peter.
Moses. Moses is preparing to get his brother Aaron and his sons ready for the priesthood, for being into their clothing, from everything from clothing to offerings and everything like that, to be able to enter into the tabernacle.
Okay.
So I just wanted to point out a few things that are going to line up with our position in heaven.
Got it.
Okay. So
you want me to start with verse 40 there?
Yeah, you can start at 39.
Yeah. Oh, 39? Okay.
Yeah.
You shall weave the coat in checker work of fine linen, and you shall make a turban of fine linen, and you shall make a sash embroidered with needlework. For Aaron's sons, you shall make the coats and sashes and caps. You shall make them for glory and beauty. And you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him, and shall anoint them and ordain them and consecrate them, that they may serve me as priests. You shall make for them linen undergarments to cover their naked flesh. They shall reach from the hips to the thighs, and they shall be on Aaron and on his sons, and they, when they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, lest they bear guilt and die. This shall be a statute forever for him and for his offspring after him.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So there's going to be a few different things we take out of this portion of text and the next portion of text we read. So in talking about our position in heaven, when we get saved, when we're born again, God always has a purpose when he's having someone write something down.
Okay.
You know, most men would say for beauty and glory, you know, in this text, if we read in this text, it said for glory and beauty. Oh, it was written backwards. Most people would think that the beauty comes before the glory.
Yeah. You receive the glory because of the beauty.
Yes.
You know, that's cause and effect.
That's man's outlook. That's the world's mm-hmm. outlook. That's how it should, even to the accustomed back then, that's how it should have been written.
Okay.
Because of my beauty, the glory comes. Yes. You know? But God obviously had it turned around for a reason here.
Mm-hmm. For a purpose.
I like it.
Yeah. So when the glory of Christ sits on us, that's what makes us beautiful to God.
Yeah.
You know, that's with my wife, her loyalty to the Lord and her devotion to the Lord is what is truly attractive.
Yeah.
You know, her beauty is fantastic, her physical beauty, but her beauty that is in the Lord, her glory in the Lord is what makes her beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the same thing that happens.
She's going to want to listen to this podcast more than once.
Yeah.
She's actually going to refer back to it when you say something slick later.
Yeah, I know.
Like, but you said...
and it's the truth. And I think it's the truth with everybody. You can, when someone is really in Christ and then they've given themselves to Christ, you can see the glory of Christ on them.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's beautiful. It is really beautiful. And
it's rich. It's like wealth. Yes. It literally looks like... like wealth and beauty, and it's something that cannot be bought or earned. And it's just to further your point as well, is that like physical beauty wanes. It's not something that can be relied on, right? But that spiritual honesty, that devotion, is that what draws people to us. And it's not us manifesting that. That's the spirit within us.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, how do marriages last 40, 50, 60 years? It's like, because they are devoted to Christ.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, and as I get older, I'm going to get more wrinkly, you know? Yeah. You know? But as I get older, the rich, like you said, the richness of Christ will just continue
to pour out.
Yes, and it won't fade.
Yeah.
The body is fading away, but the glory of Christ is not, you know? Yeah. And so there's a point in that no matter what, the Christ's glory in us is what makes us beautiful. It's what draws us to God. As God looks down, he doesn't see our glory. He sees Christ's glory, and that makes us beautiful to him.
Yeah.
You know?
It's also interesting, too, because, you know, Christ is drawn to himself, right? So him placing his spirit in us draws him to us.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing about us on our own that would want him to come anywhere near us.
No.
But he set up this before time even was set into motion, this process that he could put himself in us so that we were drawn to him and he was drawn to us.
Yes. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, it's mind blowing. Cause that's exactly what we've really been talking about all around in our church and being born again. And now that we, you know, I'm big on telling our church that, you know, we know about the Ark of the Covenant and the Old Testament, but now we're literally the Ark of the Covenant now.
Yeah.
You know, God's literally living in us through his spirit. Wow. And it's what makes us who we are in Christ, but Christ is in us. And so it's like, we were talking earlier, like, it's hard.
You're telling me if someone touches me, they're going to die instantly?
It depends.
Yeah.
It depends. I know you're trained, so.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, I actually wasn't thinking about the fact that I'm a Marine.
Yeah, I know you're trained, so it probably could work out. But, and so it's like, man, it's just a high honor, and it's just, it's so beautiful how God's, his plan was Jesus from the beginning, and in the Old Testament, these things just portray Jesus, and seeing that and learning that is just, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So beautiful to me.
Yeah. And my self-glory makes me so unattractive. You know, the things that I do in myself are seen as really unattractive. My pride and arrogance and ego, those things are unattractive. But when we're truly doing things in the Lord and walking in the Lord and walking in our position, knowing that Christ is indwelling in us now, it's full. It is ongoing. It's lasting. So I'm this portion of text, as we talked about the clothes, as we talked about them being clothed in glory and beauty, it will go on to our last point of this too.
Yeah.
But if you could read now,
yes, sir.
29:19-21. I know it's short little verses.
Real quick, so with positional sanctification and having our seat, having our place in heaven by our confession of faith and our belief in our heart, you know, these priests, Aaron, just to do a quick recap on the glory and the beauty, these priests, that's how God made them and set them aside for service and made them right and gave them their position as priests, is clothed them with glory and beauty. And so as our position, and I don't know how much more you're going to touch on it, but God just kind of, as our position, we are clothed with Jesus now. We're clothed with his righteousness and his glory and beauty. So
yeah,
that's kind of what we're saying there as far as our position. Their position as priests is what they were clothed in.
Yeah.
And our position in heaven is what we're clothed in.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
29, which?
Yeah, 19 through 21.
Got it. All right. You shall take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram and take part of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tips of the right ears of his sons and on the thumbs of their right hands and on the great toes of their right feet and throw the rest of the blood against the sides of the altar. Then you shall take part of the blood that is on the altar and of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and his garments and on his sons and his sons' garments with him. He and his garments shall be holy and his sons' garments with them or with him.
Yes.
This is really exciting.
Yeah, this is...
That's really intense.
And the great toe is the big toe.
Great toe.
If you told me it wasn't, I would have had questions.
Yeah. First reading over this, it would be kind of
like, huh?
Head wait scratcher? A second.
Like, yeah,
they're doing some weird stuff right there.
Specifically, their right feet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And let's start by this, that we're a royal priesthood. You know, we now that Christ has been crucified, resurrected, we are his priests, each one of us. Each one of us, we're not, it doesn't just go for the pastors or the evangelists. We are his royal priesthood, you know, Revelations 1:4-6, John to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And for the seven spirits who are before his throne and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. He has made us a priesthood. So as we read this portion of text, we can't be like, oh, that was just for Aaron and his sons. Aaron and his sons were a specific family.
Yeah.
The priest family. Now that we have been
engrafted, that was one of the 12 tribes, right?
So yes.
He was one of the sons, and
yes,
his whole line was set aside to be the priest.
The priest, yep.
Yeah.
So we can't ever think that, oh, well, that was just for them. No, now that we're engrafted in Christ, this is for all of us.
Yeah.
This is for all of us as soon as we accept it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Even the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the Gentiles.
Grafted in. Yeah.
So let's, I guess we'll start by the right portion, right ear, right thumb,
right toe.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
The right portion is considered the strong portion,
the right hand dominant,
as we refer back to scripture. I know that Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dominant side.
Yeah.
You know, as we look Joseph brought his sons to be blessed by his father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he had the older son come sit at his right hand so that he can get the stronger blessing.
Got it.
You know, so the right hand is considered the stronger blessing. So when they're dabbing this blood on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe, it's considered that their job as the priest now is going to be done with all their strength.
Mm.
That's the meaning beside like the right.
This is your purpose now.
This is your
dominant purpose.
Yeah, your consecration purpose is that you're making a commitment in God. You're sanctified in God. So your strength is in him now. So everything you do is going to be in his strength.
Yeah.
And with the dominance of him, with his dominion, you know? So that is the purpose of the right ear, right thumb, right toe.
Didn't the disciples want to know who was going to be sitting in his right hand?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the sons of thunder.
Sons of thunder. James and John, right?
Yeah. And I think it was their mother that asked.
Yeah.
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 Like, which one of my sons will be sitting at your right hand? Yeah. It's like, what? Lady, please.
So, Nick, do you want to remember the firstborn? You want to talk about that?
Yeah. Before we get into the blood on the ear, the hand, the thumb, and the great toe, I wanted to, he just finished reading Revelation, and it talked about the firstborn. And I want to go to Exodus 13. Are you still there?
No, I was in Exodus like 20 something.
Okay,
I will pull it up.
I got it here.
Oh yeah, thank you,
Exodus
Selena.
Exodus 13.
The angel herself.
Yes. Yeah, so yeah, go ahead and read from one. Just read verse 1 and 2.
All right. The Lord said to Moses, "Consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me." Whether human or animal.
So it was their custom, you know, that the firstborn of their children and the firstborn of any kind of animal that was born was consecrated to God. For holy service, they were giving that son, saying, this one is for you, God. This one is going to...
Did that mean they killed him?
No.
No.
What does every it mean?
For service. Now the animal.
Yes, there would be the best animal, the top one, but it would be the sons or anything, just like the older son, like we were just talking about. The older son was at his right hand. It was the blessing, the offspring would be passed on to that. Just like you preached when you came and talked at Biker Tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was the blessing was stolen.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. From the son that was supposed to get it.
The oldest
heir.
Absolutely.
You know, just like nowadays, like we have an heir. You mean that will get the inheritance? You mean mm-hmm. so that was
yeah.
It's like me. I'm the firstborn, and I'm the pastor of the church, and I get all the blessings.
You know? Oh my gosh!
I'm just kidding.
You also get sacrificed.
Yeah, exactly. I have to sacrifice.
Cast me outside.
Yeah. So
I love that.
Yeah, Christ was consecrated. Pastor, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So As we read in Revelations that the firstborn, he was the firstborn among the dead, that Christ literally, and in John 17:19, the consecration of Christ sanctifying himself, consecrating himself, what we're getting here is that Christ sacrificed himself for our position.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what his prayer. His prayer at this time is, you know, when we look deeper into it, he's literally saying, I'm going to this cross. I'm giving my life up so that they can be sanctified.
Yeah.
I'm consecrating myself. I'm the firstborn and I'm going to the cross to sanctify myself with joy. He the joy set before him that he was and so there was so much. There's so much in the Old Testament that really just leads up to this point, because I don't know how far I should touch into this, but Jesus consecrated himself for us. He was the firstborn of the dead, and he died on the cross for us. That's him consecrating himself for us, sacrificing himself for us.
I think that's huge too, because like in my translation here, I think I'm reading one of the ESV study Bible things, but they specifically define that word sanctify as set apart.
Yeah.
So it's like God is, and Jesus is very specifically saying that I am set apart, and you have set these ones apart, and keep them safe. Don't take them out of the world, but protect them while they're in the world. Because they are set apart for something greater.
And
to that consecrate word, since sanctify and consecrate would be the same, it's basically in Exodus they're saying that the priests are set apart. And we're going to go through this process to demonstrate how they're set apart. So anyone that sees them will know that they're set apart.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, you're going to wear these checkered clothes, which is probably pretty strange.
Yeah.
And they're probably pretty beautiful, but at the same time, pretty strange that you would wear checkered clothes and it's going to have blood sprayed on it.
Yeah.
So that anyone that sees you are not just going to be impressed by your beauty, but they're going to look closer, see this blood and be like, oh, these guys are different.
Yeah.
And oil.
Yeah, the blood and the oil. And so like,
and it's just such a, it's such a picture of Jesus's blood and the Holy Spirit and what really sanctifies us and what really sets us apart nowadays, you know, and when we look deep into the Old Testament scriptures, you know, of how they were consecrated, how they were set apart for God, you know, it was their position before God. It was being consecrated was their, what our position is with God today was their position with God before, what made them right, what God did to consecrate and set people apart, you know? Yeah. And it's just, it's beautiful to think now that Jesus is the ultimate one that consecrated himself for us now. And so these things, these stories, this stuff that we learn in the Old Testament, it's just so real what Jesus did for us. And it makes it so much, makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of different spots in the Old Testament where it talks about being consecrated. There's also, I'm sure you've heard the story of, I know that you guys did a podcast on the parting of the Red Sea,
with Pastor David.
Yeah, and there was another time where they parted the Jordan, and the Jordan, the waters went up and around them, so that they could cross. And it's right before Moses, it's Joshua and. Moses couldn't enter the promised land, but Joshua and he took the people into the promised land. Mm.
Yeah.
And so that in there in Joshua 3:5, it's another spot where the people were consecrated with the ark in the Jordan and they crossed the Jordan going into the promised land. I'm gonna flip to Joshua real quick.
Okay.
Joshua 3.
I've got it here.
You got it. So read verse 1 through 8.
Easy day. Joshua 3, verse 1 to 8. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out to Shittim. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way that you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan."
So that's when they crossed the promised land, and the Jordan was, they were able to walk right across the Jordan, and it's just another example of God setting people aside, consecrating them. The Ark of the Covenant was there, and so Joshua was telling the people to consecrate themselves, to be put aside for the work of the Lord, that God was the one putting them aside for the work of the Lord.
That's such an interesting concept in that context, though, because now it's not someone declaring that you're set apart. Joshua is telling them, "Hey, set yourself apart. You know, like, now make the decision, do the work yourself to get ready for this next action."
Exactly. You know? And that's the big thing here, is that I love how it just ties in perfectly, because what's our next step after we're born again?
Yeah.
We make an oath. A declaration, you know, and that's what these Aaron and his sons did. They were, before they went in the tabernacle, but as they were getting consecrated, they sacrificed this ram. The blood was put onto the ear, and the ear would be, the ear is for them. It was what they heard.
Yeah.
It was all about what they were hearing. They had to intentionally be listening to God. These priests had to be intentionally listening to God. They had to be filled with God's words. They had to be filled with God's words in order to do his work.
It's, you know, yeah.
So that was, so
you should be listening to God. You should be executing things with the power, with the dominant hand, and you should be stepping in that faith and in the right direction.
Yeah. And that's exactly, that's exactly the, this anointing that was on them.
Yeah.
The right ear was to, so they would be inquiring in the Lord. They'd be listening to the Lord for the people.
I think that that's also interesting too, because people would be like, oh my gosh, that's so raw and so regal that they had to do something like put blood on their ears. That's so intense.
Yeah.
But it's also very intentional about it. It means very specific things. It's like something we do, I don't know if every church does it, but something that Palms does when we ordain a minister or a pastor is pastor goes out to the Home Depot and he buys the biggest chain he can find, the thickest, heaviest chain he can find, and he will lay it on the shoulders of the person that we're ordaining.
Yeah.
Because he, and then he describes that, I'm placing this chain on you so that one, you know, you're chained to Christ, and also that you understand the weight of that commitment. I want you to physically feel the weight of that commitment. And it's like, okay, well, that's a kind of a modern version of this same declaration that's being made here, you know, because you're being presented before the congregation with this heavy chain holding you down and being set apart.
Yeah, you're being,
you know, as a pastor, you're being set apart.
Yeah, you're being sanctified through Christ, you know, and God, but it's a, it is something that we do outwardly. Yeah. You know, we show what we're doing. We're telling God, you know, I everything I do now is for you. Mm-hmm. And that's where we've fallen away from, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't get saved and now my life's not for me.
Yeah.
You know, my life's not for me anymore. My life is to do the will of the Father, whatever that is, you know? So I have to make sure that whatever is coming in my ears and whatever I is first, I'm inquiring of the Lord. I'm listening to what he wants me to do. I'm constantly filling myself with his words through different pastors, through church, through Bible study, through different things that I'm not letting anything that's not of God come into my life.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm being
filled. Instead, you're being, and you're not just, it's like we talked earlier about dying to yourself daily. That concept of dying to yourself daily is means you're not pursuing whatever comes to your mind, but you're actually being very intentional about what you pursue.
Yeah.
You know, just because I want this thing and because I want this person or because I want this, this whatever it is that's causing you to fall into sin.
Yeah.
Instead of allowing it to continue to fall into sin, you're like, no. Today I'm going to rely on the Spirit and I'm going to be very intentional about my decision. And so instead of this, I'm going to pursue the Spirit, I'm going to pursue prayer, I'm going to pursue study, I'm going to pursue my wife or whatever it is, because now instead of just doing whatever, you understand that you're set apart, you represent something different. And so you need to you need to be intentional, you know, about your decisions.
It's an everyday thing. Like you have
it's an every moment thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's important to look at,
to live filled. Yeah.
Why? Because the mouth is, it gets in the way a lot. By what it says. And I think it's important to highlight that his blood, the ram's blood on the ear. You know, you hear that saying, you know, you got, God give you two ears and only one mouth, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I think a lot of the times we have a problem with what we say and we have a problem listening more to God than we do with telling God what we need or what we want. And so it's like, he didn't consecrate your mouth. Like your mouth doesn't have to do with this consecration. You know, it's, you need to listen. You need to listen for me. It was very important for these priests to be able to hear from God, you know, to be able to intentionally sit down and listen. And it's so hard. It's so hard these days to get a quiet time to get. And that's why it's so important for people listening to this podcast and finding a quiet place, man, to where you can hear the word spoken and you could read the word and then listen, you know, and because there's so much noise coming from the mouths of all kinds of things around us, you know, and I just thought it was very cool to just point that out right now that it's about the ears. And if you're listening to God, you'll know what to do. You don't have to talk about what you're going to do. Listen for God. And then next comes.
Yeah. Well, and then Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We must hear the word and properly discern the word. It is through many things that this happens, you know,
yeah.
Your podcast, you know, for many people, it is that. That's something that is really going up nowadays is podcasts, or whether it be just talking to someone on the street. We have to hear the word first, intentionally seek out hearing the word in order to tell the word.
Absolutely.
You know,
I something that came to mind when you were talking about listening, thinking back to my little Bible study that I did on prayer and how Jesus prayed, like Jesus didn't pray and Jesus didn't tell us to pray, for all those like, well, I want. And we use the Our Father prayer as that guiding principle of like, when you pray, you should pray of these things. And I was just looking at it, and Jesus, when he's praying here, the high priestly prayer, he's praying in the same way, like that Our Father who art in heaven. He opens up this prayer by saying, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given. And in its eternal life, that they know that you are the one and only true God, right? And that I am Jesus who you have sent. And then he talks about that, not my will, but yours be done, when he says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave out to the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given them, or you have given me, is from you. And it's that, because like Jesus always is referencing back to the Father, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. And don't lead me into temptation. And in the prayer, I see the same thing, like set them apart. You know, don't lead them into temptation. Yes. Don't lead me into temptation.
Yes.
You know, keep me safe from the evil one. He literally says that, you know, sanctify them in the truth of your word, as you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. He's asking for the same things he talks about very succinctly in the Our Father prayer, yes, when he's giving his sermon. But it's like Jesus is literally showing us that I actually pray this way, guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just an example for you. Like, this is how you pray.
This is how you pray. And if you look deeply into this, he's praying to die.
Yeah.
He's praying about himself going to the cross to die.
Yeah. But he's not trying to say, oh, please don't make it hurt too much.
Yeah. No,
he's
not my will, but yours. I give up myself for them.
Yeah.
You know, what a better prayer for Christians. I give up my life for the hope of someone else getting saved. I'm not going to worry because God's got me. My position is accounted for.
Yeah.
Now it's time for me to die to myself and surrender willingly so that someone else could hear the gospel.
Yeah.
So completely that I could be a witness selfless to someone else. You know, and that's why, you know, sometimes when I have these things, and I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for these things that you want, but God knows what you want. He knows what you need. You know, and there's scripture to back that up too, you know? And so I feel like the intimacy of sanctification and the hearing what God's prayers are, hearing what Jesus's prayers are, it should, at some point, we should start praying like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We should start praying like, hey, you're the Alpha, the Omega, and you know what I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah. And so I'm just here to be your servant.
Yeah. His prayer is not saying, you know, thank you for the food, thank you for all these things. Yeah. I want this, I want that. He's saying, show me your will so I can do your will. So this was just part one. We're going to dive in even deeper next week with part two. So we didn't want to overwhelm you with too much information right now, but it is so awesome what we're going to go into next week. So I hope that you stick around and come back and join us in this discussion on sanctification with Set Free Church. All right. So we love you. We're praying for you. And we hope you continue this journey with us. And we will see you next week.